Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right, it's Lulz. We're bringing on Nelson Adcock from Cut Sweats. He's a man about the DFS town, is always out there keeping a lookout, the watchdog of the DFS industry, pointing out when these touts are getting out of pocket. So we're going to have some fun things to discuss with him today. Let's get to it.
He thinks this is a go. Vegas Dave thinks this is a go.
Hot naked girls doing yoga.
What?
Why don't you just win like a man?
Random.org. Type in one for yes, two for no. Let the DFS guys pick for you.
And I'm absolutely begging you not to dupe us. Please don't dupe us.
Nelson, someone replied on Twitter, R. Baroff. He said, finally. And I kind of agreed with him. It feels that it's been too long for us to have not had you on. So I'm glad we were able to rectify that today.
Yeah, glad to be on. Happy to mess around with you guys today.
Yeah, you don't troll us as much as some of the other guests do in chat. So
I mean, it's probably my most watched show if I had there. I mean, without a doubt. So, but sometimes I don't catch you right live, so I miss the. Which is kind of disappointing because I do like to mess around and see what the live chat says, but sometimes a little bit late.
I know this is a hard thing to put on someone, but how would you, for people who aren't familiar with you, I mentioned Cut Sweats, a very great golf sweat that you run, and you'll often post screenshots of how the slate's developing and looking at, you know, projected win rates and stuff like that. But how else would you describe where you fit in the DFS ecosystem for people who aren't familiar?
Yeah, I guess I've been playing DFS as a hobby for, you know, quite a while. I would say I never played it, I never played it professionally or for a full-time job or anything like that. I got started golf, NFL, MLB, I think probably like 2015, 2016 was when I really started taking it remotely serious. I had a friend of mine that was, we got into MLB pretty good. And, you know, we were just playing small stakes. FanDuel used to have like these 100-man GPPs that you could play. And they would just like fill up and then the lobby would reincarnate. They would fill up again. You could play like three entries in each of them. So we would just like spam those from $1 to $10. And this was sort of like before people started stacking. And it was quite simple. I don't know, you know, as small stakes ROI of, I don't know, 20-25% with limited swings because you're only playing 100-person field and you've got three entries. So you've got 3% of the field, which cuts down on the variance quite a bit. So from that, then sort of more into golf, I have a big golf background, like to play golf. So that's my favorite sport. And then I sort of just used DFS as like a tool for learning how to teach myself how to code, which is, I would say, being the most useful portion of it. So that's how Cut Sweats got started. I had a friend that lived in Arizona. DFS wasn't legal there at the time. So he was like, dude, can I get like 5% of your action? I just want to sweat on some weeks. And I was like, okay. And I was like, okay. So what I would submit our lineups, and then I would send him an Excel spreadsheet that was just like, hey, here's who we got, whatever. And it had some live capability to pull in the leaderboard so you could see like, okay, how are our golfers doing? And then I, you know, started tracking like, okay, how many of our lineups have 6 golfers through the cut and 5 golfers through the cut. And that sort of was how it got started. And Cut Sweats originally started as just a picture that got posted to Twitter every 30 minutes of just one or two main contests. And sort of lived like that for a few months. And then I was like, it would be really cool if you could go to a website and like type your username in and it would get your own lineups. And that's how it progressed. So I, you know, taught myself how to do all that stuff for the first couple of years. And it's grown a little bit bigger than that now.
What about like stats knowledge? Did you have any, or did you teach yourself all that too?
Yeah, I don't have a formal, I mean, I have like a minor in business bachelor's degree. So I took some stats classes and I was always good at math, generally advanced in math. So, you know, it came fairly easy. And I probably don't do stuff the exact correct way, but I just sort of, sometimes I just hack my way to get there and try to figure out what the best answer is.
So as a golf guy and a math guy, is DFS golf beatable? Because we've had a lot of, you know, pros come on here and say, it's just all randomness. No one actually wins at golf. What's the truth?
It's definitely, it has changed the, well, it's the one that I've tracked the most. So over time, you can see just the decrease in edge has, you know, been depleted significantly. Is it beatable? Certainly. What's the highest win rate? You know, I would say in classic, where you got big fields, obviously, that, you know, bigger fields, there's more recreational players in them. I could see maybe like 40% ROI, 50% ROI for like literally the best player in the world. But I mean, if you're beating it by 10%, that's extremely good. And then I have more experience, obviously, in showdown, but that's where you've got smaller fields there and the regs are a larger portion of that small field. So that just, you get a lot more slates, which is nice. So you can sort of fight the variance a little bit better. But in showdown, you know, might be like 25% maximum ROI. So it's beatable, but it's definitely, you know, when showdown golf first came out, I remember before data golf existed, or data golf existed, but they weren't doing fantasy golf. I think I had like the first season that showdown was available, like a 40% ROI in double ups. I mean, I don't even know how to describe what people were playing. It was just like, oh, this person played good in round one. They're instantly on my team for round two. And that's obviously changed.
There was a lot of randos in the weekend golf. Remember the weekend golf was pretty popular before showdown?
Yeah. You would get like DJ, who was like 30% plus on the main slate. And he like played bad, barely made the cut. And then you'd get them on the weekend for like 5% ownership. I mean, it was totally insane.
It is kind of, I mean, it's debatable since I've been getting my ass kicked in PGA for a while, but it is like one of the funner, like bang for your buck too. Like if you like golf and you like watching golf on, you know, ESPN Plus or whatever, it's pretty fun to get you. It's kind of like a red zone experience with NFL, you know, but it, you know, can last longer. You could check in throughout the day too. Like I think that aspect's going to keep it where those you know, the guys who are running the 100K to first ones will be there for a while. But like that edge of 2017 or whatever is long gone, in my opinion. And I'm not even sure like it's worth playing. Like the variance, I think the variance, can we talk about variance for a second? Nelson's done some bankroll stuff we talked about on this show. That's really good. But the variance, it's like so Nelson said that there's a lot of worse players in the 100K to first ones. This is true in every sport, right? And that's good. You want to play against guys who aren't as good as you or knowledgeable as you or can put together a lineup or portfolio, et cetera. That's the whole reason you win. But there also there's so many more players that your bankroll's got to be enormous to actually handle this. And a humble brag, on Monday I won on Yahoo, the showdown and the NBA on the same night, right? But lost money on DraftKings doing the exact same process, the exact same thing, especially in showdown, because the way I think you should play is this less dupier version, which means you're going to get like 20% of your money back most of the time, and you look like an idiot. And it's the only difference is there's 4,700 or whatever players on Yahoo and almost 100,000 in showdown on DraftKings. And so, like, I mean, the variance is could be like years worth in golf, especially too, because of how random it is, years worth before you see your 8% edge or something. Over the field. So like it's kind of meandering here, but like, you know, just talking about, oh, I definitely want to play the 100K to first because that's where all the toilet bros are playing. It's true, but like these days your edge isn't as big and it's going to take a long time to bank that 100K.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're exactly right. I would say like most of my experience in simulations and that I've been doing those for, you know, quite some time, is for field sizes of like 2,000 to 10,000 people. And the variance I see in those fields is like astronomical. I mean, it's like a joke. And then you want to go play, 50,000 field MLB, NFL, NBA contests. You just start ratcheting up the variance like to such an extreme. Like, I think you know, in my opinion, I have an edge in golf. And when I run the Sims, I would say, I think I got like 350 golf slates in last year. I mean, I basically played every single one. But if you were to like look at, and let's say I ran decent and ran at my expectation, which is pretty rare, but happened. But I would say I probably only had about a 70% chance of winning on the season. And that's over 250, 300 slates. You know, you're talking about NFL Classic is what, like 20 slates? I mean, you could be the best player in the world in NFL Classic, and you probably are like maybe even not even a coin flip to be profitable on the season. If you're exclusively playing, you know, high stakes GPPs.
You mentioned, you know, maybe the best DFS PGA player might be able to approach like a 40%, 50%. Who are the best players right now in PGA, would you say?
I mean, let's see. I would say Nerdy, Whistles, Braden, B. Griss, Seth. You know, that's probably the, I mean, Mocklovin is good, plays easily the most volume out of all of those guys, which is kind of unbelievable how much he gets down. But yeah, I mean, it's a small list as far as the winners. They just are. Yeah. And Sky said, and Pendle certainly, you know, Sarah Mech is up, you know, plays a lot of, I mean, just, you know, the people that play a lot of volume. If someone has been playing a lot of volume for multiple years, I mean, you can sort of imply that they're probably pretty good. That they, you know, they're not just losing their ass for 5 years and still going at it.
What do you think of the whole Saramat collusion allegations?
I don't know. It's not golf related. I would assume it's soccer or something like that.
I think golf too. Three Man's too is.
I mean, I probably have every single Three Man that was played last year. They don't run that frequently, and I don't see anything like egregious in them.
Yeah.
When you see like the top lineups of those, like some of those names that you just mentioned, is there like what kind of things do you think they're doing? What kind of things do you think separate them from the rest? Because even like, sounds like you guys both have pretty sophisticated processes. How are people being able to separate in that sport, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, golf is like the probably one of the most game theory sports there is, just because of the, well, depends on the, if you're talking about classic, the distribution is a little bit different than if you're talking about showdown. Showdown is sort of like almost sort of normal-ish distributions for player points, but classic is obviously bimodal because you got people that miss the cut and stuff like that. So they're better at, you know, taking advantage of the, what the field is doing. And I think that is a consistent thing across every DFS sport if you're a winner.
PGA ownership is fairly predictive too. Where if, I don't know if you guys have been playing NBA to start this year, but it's been brutal out there for the, at least that's what I'm seeing. I don't know if anyone in chat is like, you'll see someone, if you review the slate, it's like 28% project and it's like 4%. It's a little rough in NBA because of the late scratches and stuff. And there's been a decent amount to start the season already, but you can kind of count on the PGA ones to be relatively, you know, within.
Yeah. They're, I mean, the industry, I think you took the week off on your PGA ownership, which was a real bummer for me.
I forgot.
Brutal stuff.
Ping him, Nelson. Ping him.
I was on the track. He'll forgive me. I was on the TrackMan yesterday, right?
So, oh, there you go. So. Nice. It is pretty good. I mean, there's a quite a few people that, you know, publish PGA ownership. It's not that different. I mean, even if you aggregate it all, you know, the R squares are very similar. You know, the one thing that is a little bit dicey about R squaring an entire list of players is like the top guys matter. So like you're getting a lot of, like in PGA, for example, literally there might be 70 golfers this week that are under 2% owned. Okay. How far are you going to miss their ownership by? You're going to guess like whatever. So the more trash you have in that analysis at the bottom, that is just like, oh, everyone can get this projection right, the less it matters. So like a better metric in all ownership, you know, analysis is like, if you were to look at the top quarter of the field, as far as who was the highest owned player, okay, how did people project them and who got them the most right? Cause that's really what's going to give you, an edge on the field if you're able to do that really well.
Jeff, how does it feel, Nelson, to be an aspirational goal for players? He says, I spent all of last season grinding away just trying to be plus EV in Nelson's PGA Sims.
If he accomplished it, then he probably had a pretty decent year, I would say. I have at this point maybe, you know, I guess I was doing really well in PGA Showdown, you know, when it first came out and et cetera. And then when COVID happened, you know, golf, I think, got a lot more. It was like the only sport that was going for a while, got a lot more, you know, publicity, a lot more people played it. Probably a lot of people, you know, really smart people attacked it. I don't remember when Braden started, Beatra Seth, but like he just like showed up one day and then played like every contest and was like submitting extremely good lineups like immediately. It definitely got harder, and I don't think I had a very good 2021 in golf. I was like, all right, I started messing around with ChatGPT. I think it came out at that point, and just doing some extra code to try and get better at it. And that's taken off. But all that to say that once I did that, about a year and a half ago, I guess September of 22, I started tracking pretty much every single contest I played. And then I simulate each contest, every lineup I see, what do I expect that lineup to win? And then I have the actual results. So I think I'm up to like 450 different slates where I have simulated and actual results. And they're, you know, pretty accurate, I would say. You know, the people that I think are submitting good lineups generally win, and the people that are not submitting very good lineups, you know, generally lose. So it's a long-winded way to say if he got to plus EV in the Sims, then he's probably doing something right.
You tell ChatGPT that I think he's a little bitch next time you see him, okay?
Yeah, he'll know. I was telling that yesterday.
He'll know.
Yeah, it's been on the struggle bus the last few days for me.
Did you? Yeah, he pisses me off to no end. I got a headache once. Did you do like make your own field simulations previously?
Not until recently, honestly.
So you didn't did you think of that? Did you like think in your head?
No, I mean, I have been right. It's not something that ever really popped into my head because I was the way that my process worked. I was not capable of generating, you know, what I would think was good 5,000 team fields of a field. It just didn't even enter my brain as something that my code was capable of doing. I was using like, you know, just some optimizer I wrote, and it slows down as you pick more teams. So it wasn't really conceivable to me. So my approach for quite a while was I would simulate the contests, and I would look at and see like, okay, why are these lineups good in the sims and et cetera like that. And I like basically hacked my optimizer process to give me those teams is how I would say I did it. Now I have transitioned, thanks to ChatGPT, you know, like I play like showdown only on NFL. Sometimes I play the main slate, but I just don't really have any interest. But for showdown, like I can make 150,000 showdown lineups, takes like 2 minutes. And then, you know, I go through some process to be like, okay, which one of these are good? I don't have any sims. And I remember you saying something on the, I guess you guys had Whistles on last week, and he was saying like, maybe he doesn't do his own sims, like if he's using field projections. And Brian had said, well, if you're just like aggregating projections, it seems hard to even come up with the simulations. And I sort of agree with that. I have no way to sim NFL because I don't do my own sim. So I just have to look at lineups and guess like, okay, based on the ownership and the construction and the projected points, like, do I think this is a plus EV lineup, and just throw it in there.
He said he does sims, not sims. He just picks the day and it writes a whole new code and just wins, you know, no big deal.
Yeah,
let's not get Brian in a sour mood by talking about Whistles, Nelson.
I see this trend that, you know, since Nerdy ruined DFS, then everyone else that comes on here that wants to talk about sims, like poo-poo is the sims. I think it's just some Jedi mind tricks they're playing.
And the ultimate test, we'll see, you know, Travis says you're his favorite guest in a while, but the real test is, can you alienate him with Sims talk and still stay in his good graces?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm sure me and Petty have some good conversations. He's a good guy.
So I feel like one thing too, that you've had a little DFS Twitter notoriety from in the past few months is kind of calling out some touts who maybe claim to be big winners in a sport, but then when you check the chain and check the data, it's not necessarily saying that. Do you enjoy that, playing that watchdog element on Twitter a bit?
What's it like being in rural South Carolina?
Bumfuck South Carolina.
Yeah. I mean, yes. Some of the stuff just rubs me the wrong way, I would say. But as I've gotten older, I sort of care less. And then there's, you know, DFS is a zero-sum game. So if you think someone is giving a lot of people really crappy advice, you know, there's not really much incentive to say, hey, all these people, tell all the people that, you know, you're getting shitty advice. But then there's some moral aspect, like, you know, just something that I would not do. But that, you know, obviously the JBC thing was, you know, he had said like he wins every day, you know, at least like
make it slightly more plausible.
I mean, just at least be real. And that's all I said. I was like, dude, at least be reasonable with people. Like DFS is brutal. Like the games are hard. Like you could really be very good and lose for an extremely long time. And it's not because you submitted bad lineups. It's just, that's how things work. It's just variance.
Yeah.
So I've soured a little bit on just like releasing people. Like I used to, you know, I still do think touts, anyone who pays or gets paid for an opinion, like they should be subjected to you know, full transparency at any time. I don't really disagree with that. But then, of course, like if I just like I release someone's results and they're losing, it also doesn't mean they're a bad player. That's like the thing that could get misconstrued. Like I posted JVC's results, which were up and down, but I actually think JVC is a good, like a profitable player in golf. Like if you were to look at, like I can, because I track the actual and simulated results, I can make these charts that like overslates, like how much I think they should have won versus how much they actually won. Good lineups.
That's like the opposite side of the variance spectrum, right? Like if you're going to post a screenshot of I won today, it doesn't necessarily mean you're a good or bad player, but it also means that you get to show the long-term success as well, which also doesn't necessarily say if you're good at it or not, but those are two sides of the same coin.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like the whole tout screenshot is a totally insane marketing thing. I mean, it was like Brian going to go out there and just like pick his best lineup of each slate and like screenshot it and be like, ah, oh, look, here's my best lineup.
Negative $10 every night.
Yeah. I mean, but that's basically what they're doing. An individual user like me or you has some subset of lineups, and we could just go cherry pick all of our best lineups every slate and be like, hey, we did good. The only thing that the tout sites are doing is they're taking all their subscribers' lineups, might be, I don't know, 15,000 lineups. And then they're just going, hey, this person won, but obviously not a realistic view into what the entire subset of people using their projections did. So it's, you know, it's just a brutal marketing.
I don't really hate that, honestly. I just hate the clear fraudulent hucksters where they're like double dealing, sending, you know, one pick to half the audience and the other pick on the other half, and then they could like, you know, play games like that, or just like outright fraud and misleading their record and stuff like that. I mean,
Certainly.
Like JBC is a winning player, you know, like anyone who plays a lot of DFS knows he wins. But like you said, the variance, especially in golf, is so high that he can't really show that yet, even though he might be putting in good lineups because that's not the number. But, you know, if he shows the occasional lineup here that he wins, is he misleading? I mean, sure, he's on a negative downswing, but by your own admission, like that could clearly happen to the best player on the planet. Yeah. So, like, I mean, what's he supposed to do? Just only show, you know, like, like,
yeah. That's the tough thing. I mean, I think he probably had, two 50K scores in Showdown Golf this year, and was like break even in Showdown Golf. So it's like, you know, but you know, so then it's like, okay, what's the perception of someone who sees 250K scores? Are they, the guy must be, you know, printing money playing Showdown Golf. It's just, you know, I don't know. That just, to me, it should be more transparent. That's the only thing I would say.
I just want to say really quickly, like, are we going to hold all companies to the standard? You know, like, I don't know. Go ahead, Pete. Sorry.
Well, I think Nelson, just to circle back on that, he was holding him to the language of I win every day, which is it's a massively bold claim, as opposed to saying, like, come over here, we'll teach you how to be a winner, we'll teach you how to do this. Like, that's a different thing than saying you will win every day. Like, that language matters.
There's like car companies who've done like, you're gonna get laid if you buy this car. And it's like, yes. Like, that's not guaranteed. But
does the car company result in ad hominem attacks on Twitter when you call them out for those things?
I mean, maybe these days.
You should get like a byline or a credit for rewriting Run Pure Sports social media policy. I think you were directly responsible for tightening things up around there.
Yeah, I mean, that got out of hand. So I mean, what are you going to say? I mean, I thought I was being reasonable at first. And then, I mean, because it was such a ridiculous thing to say. I mean, just like be reasonable.
I got in on those. I tried to instigate a little more, just push the buttons. We need an episode to pop.
I know. I was just thinking about that dynamic in general, right? Where you have touts who are winning players, good players, like you said. But a lot of time there's a huge disconnect, right? Because a lot of what makes these guys really good, in my opinion, is the domain expertise, the amount of reps, and all of the special sauce that goes into then having put in their 10,000 hours, essentially, of playing DFS. That is a really hard thing to transfer to your subs and the people who are trying to learn from you just via picks. These are my best plays, because that's not the special sauce of these guys. It's the process. It's the portfolio management. It's the spotting these things because they've done it a million times, and just that innate feeling that they have from those reps. And so I think that's the hard thing when you're selling, like, oh yeah, be me. I've done this a million times, but all I'm giving you is a set of plays, which actually doesn't teach you how to play DFS.
Yeah. I think that has changed over time, really, to be honest. Like, a few years ago, if you had, around the time Data Golf came out, or before Data Golf came out, I know they've been around for a while now, but before that, if you had access to someone that had really good projections, like, that probably would instantly turn you into a winner in golf. Is that the case now? Certainly not. So that definitely has changed. And, you know, I am sort of, you know, responsible in the sense that I did teach people how to play poker, you know, back. I was a Card Runner's coach for a little bit. And, you know, but the difference to me between teaching people to play poker and teaching people how to play DFS is the scalability of it. Like, okay, I teach someone to play poker. Okay, well, they still have to sit at a table, make all the correct decisions. And they might not be playing versus me. They're generally playing smaller stakes if I'm teaching somebody. But in DFS, if you give someone really the playbook for how to make profitable lineups and win at DFS, it's like instantly scalable. And that you, I mean, and really you've seen it occur in the last few years where Nerdy shows up, wins, and then just enters everything and is crushing. Whistles shows up, wins, is entering everything. And same thing with Bigra Seth. So it's a lot more dangerous, in my opinion, too. Especially when you're like the tout sites are giving advice, are these people are literally playing in contest with you. At least in poker, it was like these people aren't sitting at the table with you.
Yeah.
For the most part. I mean, I did some coaching for poker back in the day, but every DFS request for lessons I've ever received, and I've seen a decent amount, I always say no, but send me what you do. Just tell me what you do. And I'll give you my opinions on it. Like, I think that's kind of fair, but you can't, like, what am I going to do? Like, give you,
what are you going to do? Give them all your projections and your ownerships and your code to build the lineups. I mean, you know, it's, you can tell people how to think about it. Even then, you know, it does not take many sharp people to obliterate an edge in DFS in a DFS sport. There's just not that much equity EV to go around.
That's a great segue to this question we got from Jason in the chat. Impact of Rufus getting into the space. I think you're well equipped to talk about his presence in the golf DFS projections world.
Yeah, I mean, I would say he got in too late. I don't know what to say about that. I mean, I would guess if you look at Data Golf's projections and Rufus's projections, they're like not very different at all. They're almost, there's, you know, and I, you know, and so, you know, there, that's the, there's a sort of problem there. Is like, okay, he gets in the space and now, okay, buy Rufus's projections and that'll make you a winner. That will certainly, that is not the case. So it's sort of a dilemma where it's just like, okay, he's just offering the projections. That's not enough. So is it properly conveyed or what? Projections in golf are not enough to beat the game.
Certainly. Yeah, I mean, I feel like the general marketing or whatever strategy for almost all these sites is like projections won't guarantee you when you need an optimizer or something else and you need to do like you said.
I think it is sort of softening a little bit in the messaging of how they're sending the message.
Maybe. I mean, Stochastic has like a billion different strategy videos on how to use optimizers and how to use sims, and there's quite a bit of content on their site. And I mean, we had Levitan on this show say that this will not make you guaranteed winner, I think, about when his roof, when those Rufus numbers came out. So, but that's interesting. You did. So you didn't see when those numbers came out, you didn't see any really real change in like, you're going to lose.
No, I didn't see any change. I don't know if I have my stuff, but the average golf lineup that I submit, I would bet, if you look at the average points, my lineup scores for the season where I won 20% or something, I bet my average lineup didn't outscore the field. Was not above the field average.
And sorry, what's the implication?
Well, meaning like that? I was not winning because I was better at projecting the golfers.
Gotcha.
Like, you know, the edge only comes, there's only a couple ways your edge in DFS comes. It's from some product or, you know, some function of your player projections, your ownership projections, and your roster construction. And that would be like stacking and sports like that. So, you know, obviously the biggest edge is when nobody else is good at projecting whatever sport you're playing, because then you just play the best plays and they're not even owned because people have no clue who to play. But then, and people get better at projections, the ownership starts to really line up. I mean, if I sort like lineups in golf by projected by actual ownership, and then see how many points those lineups score in each section, like top group is the highest, the top 5% owned lineups, they are going to score the most points. And then the next 5% owned lineups, they're going to score the next most points. Like in golf, it's an extremely linear relationship, where the higher owned a golfer is, literally the more points he's going to score.
So what would you say? I think, you know, if people are, say, that the hand builder or the people who are don't have a sophisticated process for golf, like what is the thing that they should be focusing on the most, assuming that just good projections are now table stakes?
Just getting different, I would say. You know, you're trying to get first place out of 10,000 people or 5,000 people, whatever it is.
And now PGA golf is ruined. Thanks a lot, Nelson. can I point out though, really quick too, like when Rufus released his numbers, he took a lot of shit for like, oh, now you're killing golf. You're killing golf. Why aren't you giving out, you know, you're giving out these numbers. You're just a tout now. Right. And it's like we're kind of getting at these people from both directions. Right. It's like, you damned if they do and damned if they don't. I think most of this stuff, most people aren't fucking idiots. You know, like if you want to buy someone's picks and gamble them, you know, I think the vast majority of people are doing it just for entertainment. And like, I don't think it's that big of a deal, really. I mean, I'm sure there's always someone with an issue who's going to ruin it for the rest of us and really ruin their lives. But I think for the most part, these guys get a lot of shit when they fuck up. And, like, you're just, you know, we're all adults here. Like, if you want to buy JBC's picks, go fucking buy them. Like, I don't think it's a big deal.
Yeah. Well, and I think wasn't the thing with Rufus too, right? I mean, he's the uber value for him, right, is he is kind of like originating this stuff early on, like once lines are posted and he's able to pick stuff off in the sports betting markets that are off, and he has a really good model. And so being early there is a huge advantage for him. Whereas with DFS, once the information's out there, everything has a longer period of time to move toward efficiency by the time lock happens. So like Rufus's big edge of being essentially what, like a market originator, it doesn't give as big of an edge with how PGA DFS works.
Yeah, I would say that's true. I don't think he posts them till Wednesday or something like that.
Right.
For that purpose, which inherently, you know, I don't even know if Datagolf, I don't think they upped, I'm a subscriber to Datagolf, but I don't really look at them early in the week anyway. I don't look at golf until Wednesday night, but Datagolf, I'm not sure they changed their projections. Brian, do you know? I don't know if they really change. Like, they're not like ever evolving from the time they post them. And they post them generally like Monday afternoon or something like that.
I want to say they do, but I could be wrong. Honestly, because I do the same thing. I just don't do anything till Wednesday.
Okay. I think I don't know. I know they post them like Monday afternoon once like some odds come out and stuff like that. But what was interesting is like I have looked at comparing Datagolf versus Rufus projections for a handful of weeks that, you know, someone sent them to me. They said, hey, can you look at, you know, the difference between them? They would, and they weren't that different. And what's interesting is that if true, Datagolf released them on Monday, sort of made no adjustments to them. And then, you know, Rufus released them on Wednesday. They've got a lot more potential input. So, you know, it just, I think that just goes to show there's really not a huge projection edge.
Yeah, the definitely for the updates if there's a weather shift.
Yeah, weather. That's what I was gonna say. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But regardless, your point still stands. I mean,
right. So it's just, you know, right. All I'm saying is like it's tough to beat the market projecting golfers.
Yeah.
I think I like one for like a few months span. I was like, oh, I'm gonna try, you know, betting on golf. And all I did was like stay up till 12:30 or 1 o'clock until the next day lines got posted. Then I would just bet them and I would go to sleep and I would wake up and I'd go, oh, okay. Got a little bit of line movement, got like a 3% ROI for 6 months and then gave up because it was a pain in the ass. they're only going to let you win so much anyway. So it's all capped, which is really the problem with sports betting.
Those early lines exist. Yeah.
Really, I mean, you can't get much money down anyway. But you could easily beat golf by just like staying up until the middle of the night, waiting for the first site to post, dinging them, and then you probably get closing line value every time.
Are you a golf degen? Like, will you bet long shots, the outrights, and stuff like that?
Nah, I don't really bet. I used to bet like T20 markets, but I just don't do it. I mean, it's all set up to do it, but I just don't want to go through any more of the time of trying to beat that market.
Would you be interested in joining a crowdsourced syndicate crypto? No, never mind.
Yeah, that's good.
Tell us more. So what kind of – what's your user base for CutSweats, I assume, is just very sicko DFS golf players. I mean – Tell the people about CutSweats if they don't know about it a little bit more here.
Yeah, I mean, CutSweats is just, I would call it, and by design, it's a skill-neutral fantasy golf website. All we do is we help you follow your lineups once the tournament starts. So if you play Classic Slate, you could go there. Just give us your username. We pull in automatically every single lineup you submitted, every contest you're in. You get a nice, like, you know, you can go to the PGA Tour website and star all your golfers, or you can go to our site and see all of them and see how they're doing for the day, how they're doing for the tournament. Or, you know, is this guy that's one shot outside the cut, is he on a bunch of 5 out of 6 teams? So, like, you need him to make the cut, and you'll get a lot more where all of your guys make the cut. So that was obviously the main thing. I use it now for Showdown. So we do... I would say every round for normally DraftKings will have a main slate and then a late slate of golf. And specifically, we wait until all the golfers are on the course and then we start the sims just so you can sort of follow along with, you know, golf is weird because of the waves. You got morning wave, afternoon wave. So like you might have a lineup that crushed it in the morning. And on DraftKings, you'll be winning for 9 hours until the afternoon wave catches up and, you know, they beat you. So we just wanted to try and give you some sort of metric to say, hey, is this lineup live? Like, what's its chance of winning? What's its chance of, like, being near the top? And so I use that a lot. And then we do simulations after each round. But we specifically try not to do anything like right when stuff locks. So we just don't want, you know, people to be like, I don't want anyone going to the site and going, wow, I submitted some really crappy lineups.
Where could, do your users have a place where they're able to redeem their Skolansky bucks that you hand out for them?
No, I thought about that a long time ago. It's just like, I guess the first time I ever thought, remember when Monday night football used to be on the main slate? And so you would have like, you know, you would have these lineups that were crushing, and they're like just sweating Monday night games.
Yeah.
And it was like, it would be really interesting if there was a market where you could sell your lineup, you know, or some portion of, you know, there's big money involved. You know, someone might be willing to take, you know, 20% of their money off the table for some premium that you're able to offer them.
My buddy really Pat Corain, who won Best Ball Mania, had his sweat come down to that final Monday night game, and he was on the phone with Bales and Jennings thinking about offloading a chunk of that just to, you know, mitigate some of the risk of how big the swing was. And it's a good thing that the line got a little fuzzy and disconnected there.
Yeah, if those guys are gambling with you, do not accept the deal.
But like, you have to understand it from his perspective, right? Because if it goes wrong for him, it goes wrong from like a 2 million down to 30,000. Like, it's like just the most absurd swing there. So,
I have offered, I offered someone, like in a DM one time, of, you know, some portion of what I thought their equity was if they wanted to, you know, cash out, but they turned me down, but, it's, you know, not an insane prospect.
I've done it, guy. I've transferred 100,000. Luckily, I was on the right side of that one. But we got to talk about the DraftKings controversy.
Sorry, I knew we were forgetting something.
I'm good.
Okay, perfect. I'll pull this up from your Twitter thread, but set the table for people here.
So this is actually pretty lucky that I caught it because. I don't specifically look at every golfer's score and then what DraftKings scored them. My general process is at some point after the week is over, I'll go back and summarize all the showdown contests. So I went through all the showdown contests and I was like, I know what my entry fees were. And then I look at, you know, what my program says I should have won. And this is the first week where in round one specifically, it was off like by a pretty substantial amount. And so I was like, okay, I went back and looked to try and figure out what the deltas were. And I just identified two golfers, Sam Ryder here and Michael Kim. And I just found out yesterday, they actually played together in this round. So I think it was just a group error. And the basic gist of this error is, you can see here in Sam Ryder's scorecard, the top section starts on hole 10, meaning they started on the back nine. And DraftKings scored them as if that was the first hole. So like if you're looking up here,
it's like number 15.
Yeah, like on 14 there. Go down a little bit, Pete.
Yeah.
So on, right on 14 is a par five.
Eagle.
Yeah, and then you go down to hole number five. They made a three on a five, so they gave him an eagle for that instead of the par that he made on the par. Mm-hmm. So that's what happened. And so if you were to – it just, you know, probably something with the stat provider, just one group had the wrong starting hole.
It's like my buddy scored how they scored their golf.
Yeah, with it, and then it dawned on me is I was checking the Cut Sweats live sims for round one, and that lineup that won up above there, Delk four or whatever, was nowhere to be seen in my sims. And I was like, because my sims were using the actual scorecards, not the DraftKings scoring. And so I had like I draft snake like as like nearly 100% to win at the end of this thing, and I'm like, you know, why is Delk 4-3 up at the top?
How much do you think Delk 4-3 hates your guts?
Well, they didn't claw back as far as I know.
Well, not yet. I know, but he's probably just cut it out.
I'm waiting to get a DM from iDraftSnaked88.
Just to let you know, Nelson, that's actually iDraftNaked88.
Even better. Well, maybe they'll send me a good DM then. But it's just, you know, potentially – I don't know if that person even knows, you know, they don't have Sam Ryder in their lineup. The second place team does not. So they went from second to first, which was worth $7,500. And they just woke up and had it in their DraftKings account.
And you said you pointed these out to DraftKings. Was that an email, a DM to DK Assist? How did you communicate with them?
Yeah, I just sent an email to DraftKings. the VIP service at DraftKings a fairly long email in the sense, like, just said, hey, looks like you guys messed up. Here's Sam Ryder. Here's how many points he should have scored. Here's how many you guys had him. Here's the scorecard. Here's what you guys scored him. And then I did the same thing for Michael Kemp, just like something is wrong. And then I didn't hear back from them for like, well, they were like, we'll look into this. And then that was like 5 days. And then I followed up on like Thursday or Friday of last week. And I was just like, hey, you know, any update here? I mean, seems like pretty simple solution to me. You guys scored two golfers wrong, change it. And I mean, this is a small slate. What's the guarantee? Like, yeah. 30 grand. They probably came out of pocket for
this. Isn't a bachelor out for payout situation.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, then they didn't get back to me. So then I don't know, Monday or Tuesday, I was just like, all right, we'll just escalate this to Twitter. And then they got back to me pretty quickly. Got resolved by the end of the day. So,
okay. Did get resolved.
Yeah. They adjusted payouts for round one, round two. And I think there was like a minor classic golf payout delta. That guy.
There you go. Draft Naked could buy some clothes now.
There you go. I bet. Do you think you were the only person to notice this error? Like, if you never would have said anything, do you think they got a single other email or comment about that?
I don't know. That's a good question. It would be interesting if they did or not. But I would only catch the, like, I track some NFL Showdown stuff too. But the way I track that is once all the contests are done, I track the completed DraftKings contest, which has all the scores in it. So I would never notice if someone in NFL, because I don't track them myself. In golf, what I do is I take the DraftKings contest and I apply my own scoring to it. And it always matches up. This time it just did not.
Well, with NFL too, there'd just be so many eyes on it that there's just no way. I think that glaring of a mistake would slip through the crack. If it was a macro scoring thing, if it took place on an individual lineup, maybe, but if it was like an actual player score was wrong, I just think the market who'd be looking at those things and the way people overanalyze their lineups, I don't even know if that could happen for NFL.
Yeah. I mean, I would say it probably wouldn't. There's a decent chance it's not going to, no one's going to catch it unless it impacts like a top 10 lineup. Like, you know, you're never going to catch it if it's like, oh, I cashed or didn't cash. Maybe someone would, because they got some stat wrong, but it's more likely to happen in the scenario that I had, where it significantly impacted my results and also significantly impacted the actual contest. Cause Sam Ryder was in the winning lineup in main slate. He was in the second place lineup on the late slate. So there was a lot of movement at the top of the leaderboards.
Yeah. Well, this is why you've earned the title I'm giving you as the DFS watchdog. You come for the touts, you come for the scoring errors. You're the hero we need in this dark, dark world.
It sounds like a good YouTube title, DFS.
That's what I'm doing. I start to workshop these YouTube titles.
We need the views.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nelson, one question, because I know you got to get out of here. Our friend Dirty Rush asked on Twitter, ask him what his favorite NFT collection is. Even seeing your NFT profile picture, you would not strike me as an NFT bro, and you certainly wouldn't strike me as someone who still has an NFT as their profile picture.
I like that NFT. I don't know. People like to call me a bot from time to time. I'm sure there's other NFTs that have a bot hat on. But it just seemed, and my favorite color is red, you know, so it just is a perfect encapsulation of I guess me in general. So that's why favorite NFT collection.
Yeah.
Oh man. Hopefully, well, that one's up there. That one's a Robotos. If anyone doesn't know what it is. I'm trying to think the one. I'm drawing a big blank on the one that I really want to say for Andy. Cause there are these stupid ducks we have. God dang, what are those?
Oh, the sup ducks, are they?
No. These are way worse. They're way worse. Hang on. Way worse.
Oh, Andy's like, this was Nelson's chance to pump our bags on lulls. You botched it. You botched it, Nelson.
This is a brutal a brutal failure. I could go. Oh my god. I got like a minute to find this. Hang on. I'm gonna find it. Oops. It's horrible.
Sorry. All right. Yeah, this is going to be a walk.
I own some NFTs. I mean, sadly, still own NFTs. I don't think anyone is still happy about owning NFTs.
Nelson, before we let you go, you do have to weigh in on the
I'm not going to be able to find it. I don't want to mess up the stream by way worse than Subdocs. That's all I can say.
Nelson, final question for you before you go. Team Run Pure Sports or Team Ship It Nation? I think his video
is back now. Behind us.
Yeah, he lagged a little bit.
Are you back, Nelson?
Yeah.
This is the most important question. I can't wake up on us now.
I think so. Okay, right. I'm back.
He's back.
Okay. All right. I need you to answer the question. Team Run Pure Sports or Team Ship It Nation?
I'm going to go with Ship It because the only person I've met personally in the industry in either of those spots is Tambo. I really like Tambo a lot. So,
okay.
There you go.
That's who I'm attaching my train.
I wish, Brian, we need a Lulz accountant to get the final scoreboard on who's actually winning this public relations.
It can't be hard. There. Can't be hard. No one answers the question. So I'm just surprised there isn't an answer.
Nelson, appreciate you joining us. People can follow you at Nelson Adcock on Twitter. Got that link down below. We'll also link to Cut Sweats. Appreciate you coming on today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. It was a good time.
All right, we'll see you, man.
All right, see ya.
All right, Brian, we got a few more minutes here. If there's any little housekeeping stuff we want to wrap up. But Nelson was a big hit, both in the chat, on Twitter. Lots of people excited to get Nelson on these airwaves.
Yeah, people love Adcock. I wouldn't mind talking a little actual golf with him, and I wanted to see what he thought about NFL showdown. Like if he had I didn't ask him because we didn't have a lot of time, and I assume – he probably thinks about the same thing. It's a lot harder now. I mean, I was thinking after this last week, Pete, did you play on Monday?
Football?
Yeah. Showdown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And did you see all the Raiders defense?
Yeah. Well, Davis won with a Run the Sims lineup that had Raiders defense against the Lions onslaught. And people were very pissed about that.
And the Raiders were only 6% owned, which is one of the reasons why you have them, they're just low owned. They can get zero. Fuck. But the issue is there was a ton of dupes with them. And so that could be a problem. Just think about it. Let's say one lineup has a $200,000 that it would win, but then someone else dupes you. Now that goes from 200,000 to 100,000, right?
Right.
It's a little different.
You're talking to a guy who has made t-shirts that say, "Don't dupe me, bro." I understand this concept. Sometimes to a fault, because my dupe, I think, threshold is probably too extreme. Although you tell me that maybe it isn't. Maybe we got to just keep holding out. And in 100 years, I'll finally realize my dupe aversion edge.
I mean, really, all you're trying to do is find lineups that should be duped a lot, but aren't. Right? You're not just trying to get one dupe lineup. That's easy to do.
Yeah.
But then the more that people are matching you, aka duping you, it fucking ruins it completely. So I don't know. I don't know if we're there yet, but I think that was a slate where you're like, huh, well, I'm playing tonight, but I'm going to look again. And so hopefully some crazy shit happens again. And then it'll be all over the internet again. We can be like, huh, interesting.
Yeah. Brian, did it break your heart when Nelson went to update his or aggregate his projections around the industry and he went to brick75.com and there was nothing there for him? Did that make you really, want to commit to being a better PGA content provider?
It did not. It didn't move the needle. I just totally forgot. And then someone sent something in my Discord too. I'm like, oh, fuck, that's right. I barely played. It's not the real season yet anyways in PGA. These tournaments are 100K to first, 20K to second, $25 entry fee, that. They're pushing as hard as they can just to get a winner take all. And it's like, whatever.
Yeah.
It's fucking so random. And then now it's a winner take all. So it's I'll win this one every 10,000 years.
Yeah. Oh man, I don't know if I like this idea from Goose. Just add defensive players to showdown, pool of dupes solved. I mean, can imagine if we had to get in the IDP streets?
I don't know if that would solve it, honestly. I think just people are just too good now. It wouldn't be that hard.
How would solve it, Brian? Assistant to the regional captain.
I mean, I would love it if that happened. I'm not sure that would solve it either at this point. I think changing up the games though is not the worst idea in the world. I was talking about this at the beginning of the show, like less opponents is just such a big difference in DFS. I mean, everyone wants that 100K, but like you can actually beat 500 lineups. You can actually beat 1,000 lineups. You can occasionally get one of these massive ones, but like that's what everyone's optimizing for. So it's just a lot harder, even though all the donkeys are in them. At least just something to think about, at least, you know?
Yeah. So it sounds like the real problem is we need to figure out how do we get the donkeys in these smaller contests. That if we could crack that riddle, we'd really be cooking with gas.
That's speaking. That's where the touts come in. That's where the touts come in, Pete. Get okay. them, turn right. them into the, I think I'm done defending touts.
Yeah, I think you reflexively like to play devil's advocate, and then sometimes you realize I don't even like this position I'm having to make right now.
Maybe that's true, but like I'm just sick of commie bullshit. Yeah. So when I think the chambers come in, like you trying to make money. It's like
I am.
Fuck you. How about that? How about you go fuck yourself? I know Nelson's not saying that at all. He's not a commie, but like I think that's my reflexive defensive thing going on there. But like, I don't know. I'm sick of, I'm the only one who else defends the touts as well as I do. Cause they can't defend themselves. Cause they just go, yeah, but you're a tout. Fuck you.
Yeah. You know what, Brian, we need all these different heroes. We need Nelson as our DFS watchdog, and we need you as the ultimate tout defender.
It'll be like a big court case and I'm up on the stand.
You defending like the entire Run Pure Sports staff as like their legal defense.
I don't know why I'm doing this. Like I'd be like the best witness.
Well, speaking of making money, people got to check out brick75.com. We talked a lot about the draft caddy tool during best ball season, but it's a very helpful tool for drafting right now. And we actually on the club, we were talking, Andy's been doing a ton of auto drafting for NBA stuff and has had a lot of success. And I think too, if you're trying to get any volume in right now, the draft caddy tool for battle royales is a very helpful thing. Brian, you said you jammed in a ton of lineups with it last Sunday.
Two Sundays ago. So last Sunday when I was doing my stuff, I got a little slower start on Sunday. I usually do the battle royale first. There was 3,000 lineups left, right? To like before it filled.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay. I went to like go do something, come back like 30 minutes later, and it's like boop, filled. I'm like, what the man? I wish they'd just make it a little bigger so you could have an extra hour for DFS guys who also play. But you can like it's got like an extra column for the battle royale to show you could like redo the rankings and it'll show you what your rankings are. Like you could put ETRs in there. You could just download ETRs and just upload it right there with no changes, and it'll show their ranking and draft by that, you know, if that's what you want. It should work for NBA too, but I've never tested that. So I do a bunch of drafts at once and just get them all in on Sunday.
And the reason I like it too is so, because right now on Underdog, you can't toggle back and forth between ranks in ADP. So if you use the caddy as the overlay, you can have the ranks or ADP essentially, or you would have the ranks display if you wanted, or you could do it vice versa, right? You could choose which way you wanted it sorted, ADP or ranks, and then use the overlay to show you the other, which I found that helpful because I have been doing a lot of the 12 person drafts and the 6 person, but like the strategy and the ranks end up being a little different for those. So being able to have the overlay for one to show me the ADP on the other, you know, if I'm using ranks where I'm not wanting to use the same ranks, if that makes sense. So it is a very helpful thing. Brick75.com. Spurious says the browser says the site isn't secure. Trust me, Brian would never do anything with your data.
I want that spurious info. Need it. It's because I don't have the HDS, the HTTPS. And then when I had my guy turn that on, it broke the whole site. And so instead of paying him, because I don't care, I just went back to the HTTP.
Well, that's what you say publicly. Behind closed doors, you confided in me that you kind of like it and it helps your image as like the bad boy of DFS being like, my site's unsecure. It's dangerous. Come over here.
Yes, I do that. It's a pickup line of sorts.
All right, Brian, we'll get the audio up. Again, thanks to Nelson for joining us. Any other stuff on your end?
I don't think so. Is there Pete? No. Oh, I might do NFL ownership. My own, like, updated NFL ownership. But
I like it.
ChatGPT is not helping me. So uh-oh. I might not.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to get out of here. We'll be back Thursday tonight, the Shipcast. We're going to have a fun one. The game isn't going to be fun, Steelers versus Titans, but we're going to have JJ, late round QB, noted Steelers fan, and Soccer Dave, the world's foremost Titans fan, on the show tonight. So that should be fun if you want to sweat with us over on Ship Chasing tonight. And then, yeah, feel free to slide in our DMs if you think you'd be a good guest. We recently had someone reach out. This is the only tease I will say. They said they were interested in coming on the show, but they would need to use a voice decoder because they didn't feel comfortable with their public identity. They haven't responded to my follow-up email. So who knows? Maybe next week, Brian, we get a masked man here on this show.
Oh, you know I'm for that. I'm all for it. I said no vetting. Just bring him on.
I did a little bit of vetting, Brian.
You probably should.
All right. This is Lulz for Brian Hooper. I still have my Halloween name up here. I just realized. Peter Pan. We'll see you guys next time. Peace.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen. On sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.